Well, I feel like the Lord's been talking to me this week about some things I want to share with you this morning. I thank the Lord for strength to be here. It's wonderful to have strength. What I wrote on the board was, in His will, you will find Him. I'm thinking this morning about the will of God in our lives and how that we all want to know the Lord. We all want to see Him. We all want to see His works. We all want to know the Father. I thought about the song number 55. It says, "O sweet will of God, Thou hast girded me round like the deep moving currents that girdle the sea." And then it goes on to say, "And this bondage to love sets me perfectly free." Verse 4 of that song says, "Forever I choose the good will of my God. It's holy, deep riches to love and to know. The serfdom of love to so sweeten the rod that its touch maketh rivers of honey to flow." You know, this morning I'm thinking about, where is God? Where do we find Him? Where do we see Him? Where do we see Him work? We see Him work in His will. We see Him work when we're in His will. And when we're centered up in the will of God, we'll see God. We'll see Him in all of His beauty. We'll see the Lord if we're in His will. And this morning I just want to think a little bit about that, about being found in the center of the will of God. We all want so much to see the Lord. We love to see the miracles the Lord works. We love to see the things He does in our lives. We love to hear the testimonies of what God has done in people's lives. But I will tell you where that's found. It's found in the center of His will. That's where God works, and that's where He is. I want to look at some scriptures this morning in John 14 and 8. It says here, "Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" You know, Moses one time asked God, he said, "I want to see your glory." You know, people want to see the Father. Don't we want to see the glory of God in our lives? And don't we want to see His workings and His powerful hand and His blessing upon our soul and deliverances from the things the enemy would put upon our lives? That we want to see that, don't we? I will tell you, Philip here, he said, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And Jesus said, "Have I been with you so long, Philip? And yet hast thou not known me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" You know, Jesus was in the perfect will of God. He was here, and all that His life was about was to do the will of God. In one scripture it says, "I come to do thy will, O God." That was Jesus' very heart and soul. In John 12 and 27, we see here where He says, "Now is my soul troubled." Jesus knew what He was facing. This was just a little bit before He went to the cross. It was just a little bit before. And He said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to Him. You know, Jesus' whole life was about one thing. He said, "My meat," how does that scripture go? "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me." That was Jesus' whole purpose on earth, and He served that. And you know, God, He said, "Father, glorify thy name." And you know what came? A voice. He says, God says, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. And some said that it thundered, but God had spoken. And we see where Jesus was. He was there trying to do God. He was there in God's will, right in the center of his will. And God himself thundered out, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. And I was thinking about Jesus' life there and his doing the will of God and God backing that up with power and authority and with his own voice thundering out even. And I think about Jesus and I was thinking about this. What if Jesus had come into the world and gotten sidetracked? I want us to think about that for a minute. What if he would have come and when the devil tempted him to be the rulers, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world to rule if you'll just bow down and worship me. What if Jesus would have got sidetracked and he would have bowed to that and said, you know, I think that looks pretty good. What if he would have got sidetracked and took a wife when clearly he knew what his purpose was? What if he would have got interested in the Olympics and what was that, Greece? Went down to Greece? What if he would have got sidetracked and went over there? Would we have salvation today? Would we have seen the mighty workings of the Lord? Would God have thundered forth with his voice if he had gotten sidetracked? Well, we all would say that would be terrible. That would be ridiculous. That would be awful. Listen, I want to tell you, saints, I want to see Jesus too. I want to see the Father too, in all his glory, in all his work. And I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to be centered up in his will. How about your life? Are you centered up in his will today? You know, we want the Lord to work. I don't boast only in the Lord, but I want to tell you, I've seen God work. I've seen him work in awesome ways. I have seen it. I've seen it in his will. I've seen him work. I've seen it when it was at my expense. It seemed like I didn't have the strength, but the Lord called. And I want to tell you, I've seen the Lord thunder forth, not with a loud voice, but I've seen him come forth. Saints, young folks, you want to see God in your life? You want to see the Lord work? You want to see him talk to those you love? You want to see your witness mean something to people? Center up in his will. Center up in God's will, wherever you are in life or whatever he's called you to. Center up. You know, what if we're sidetracked? What if we're moved by some of earth's pleasures and finery and luxury? Don't you know that's what the world offers? It's from the world. It's from the spirit of the world. Don't you know it's calling to all of us today? Don't you know it's making its bid? What if we get sidetracked? What if we get sidetracked? And maybe we only marginally are able to see what God wanted to do in full bloom. What if we only marginally, what if we lose out completely due to the things of the world? We get sidetracked. What's going to happen to our children? What's going to happen to our posterity? What's going to happen to those that God had planned for our life to affect? The Lord wants us to center up in his will today. What if we get sidetracked with the pleasures of this life? What if we see all those things and it looks so tempting? Young folks, that's probably more tempting to you even than it is to older people, although they're tempted too. What if we get sidetracked? What if we spend all of our time or a whole lot of our time on the pleasures of this life and we're looking and doing and all the marvels of the age that we have of science today and we get sidetracked? Are we going to see God in our life? Are our children going to see God in our life? Are they going to be moved in their heart with passion because they want to serve the same God that mom and dad serves. I want to encourage us today. Oh, center up in God's will. It'll mean some sacrifice. It will mean to give up some things. But I want to tell you, I wouldn't think Jesus would have done any better had he got the whole world and lost the plan of salvation and lost the workings of the power of God in his life. Can you imagine what it would have been like? We can say, yes, that would have been a disaster. We don't know what God has for our lives. Will we get sidetracked? You know, the Lord has a will for our life. Do we realize that? He has a will and express purpose for you and for me in this life. He wants things to be done in our lives. He wants to work through our lives. And the Lord wants to do that. But if we get sidetracked, we won't see God. What if we follow the lust of the flesh all around us? What everybody else does, just throw down the bars and go out and do whatever we think we want to do. Will we see God? Will we see pleasure in life? Oh, only for a short time. I want to tell you, if you want many days and you want to see good days, eschew evil. Run from it. Hate it. Turn from it. And let God in your life. I want to tell you, He'll work for you. He'll help you. He'll heal you. He'll bless you in many ways. Just want to encourage us today. Oh, sweet will of God, Thou hast girded me round like the deep moving currents that girdle the sea. The Lord wants to girdle our life around like that. And He wants His will to be in the center. He wants us to be centered in His will. And He wants to move all around us and work in our hearts and lives. Do you believe the Lord wants to do that? Or is that just for Paul? Or just for John the Apostle? Or Jesus? I believe it's for every one of us. He wants our lives to be touched by God's plan and His will. In Acts it says, 10 and 38, it says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Let me find that. Acts 10 and 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, this morning, the Lord's not looking to lift anybody up. The Lord, Jesus, wanted to glorify the Father. And He said that. And we find here how God anointed His life. And He went about doing good and healing all, it says, that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You know, when God is with us, our life turns into what Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And you know, those waters heal people's lives. We go about touching other people's lives, helping them up. You know why we can help them up? Because God has helped us up. And we have something to give them. I want to look at Job's life just a little bit. Back in Job, the 23rd chapter, you know, where was God during Job's time? The Lord Himself said of Job, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? That was God's testimony of Job. Now let me ask you something. How could it be? How could it be that Job was so afflicted and be such a righteous man? Is it possible that a just and a loving God would allow some of His people to be afflicted? Is it possible that He will allow things to happen in our lives sometimes? Well, He did. And I want to read just a little of Job's experience here. He says in verse 8 of chapter 23, behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know, this morning, I want to encourage us to utter abandonment to God's will. Job here was encouraged by his wife to just curse God and die. But you know, Job utterly abandoned himself to God's will. And in chapter 13 and 15, maybe I'll mention this here again in a minute, but in 13 and 15, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. I will maintain that I'm the servant of God. That's my understanding of it. I'm his friend. I'm not the enemy of God, as my accusers say. I'll maintain that. But you know what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I can't see him on my left hand. I can't see him on my right hand. I can't find him. I look for him, but he's not there. Where is God? Where was God during this time? Why did God let this happen? You know, Job just utterly abandoned himself to the Lord. That's where God was, because it was God's will. It was God's will that Job was where he was. He was afflicted, and he never turned from God. And he never charged God foolishly. And he stayed right there, and he served God. And you know what? God was there all the time. He was right there where Job was in God's will. Was he afflicted? Yes. Now, we're not afflicted all the time, thank the Lord. Most of the time, we're not really afflicted, most of us. But you know, sometimes we are. You know, God's there too. He's there too, and he wants us to stay right there and trust him and love him and serve him and not give down in any way and not run off, because God has some things he has in mind. Job here, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm just going to trust God no matter what happens. I believe, it seems to me like that's about the greatest faith there is. Lord, I don't see you, I don't understand, but I know I'm your servant. And I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to trust you. Seemed like in the last couple of months here, I'll be 2 months tomorrow, and I've had a lot of affliction. But I will tell you, I experienced some of this very thing. Why isn't God speaking to me? He's spoken to me so many times. He's been there all through my life, and now I'm suffering and I need him. I want to tell you something. There's a value in the refining of your gold in that place that can't be had anywhere else. I don't believe it's possible. There's a place that places that the Lord wants to bring us to and speak to us and change our life in ways that I don't believe he can do it any other way than to put us in that kind of fire. But you know, when we utterly abandon ourselves to God, you know he's still there. I want to look at Job 42, move on down to the last chapter of Job, and see what the end of this thing is. In verse 13, And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Now his friends had mistreated him. They had falsely accused him. They had, as the devil does, when you get afflicted, he'll accuse you. He'll work on you. He'll try to tear you down. And that's what the devil was doing here. The Lord said, just don't touch his life. And you know, that's what the devil did. But I want to tell you, the Lord required something of Job. In his utter, where is God? The Lord then finally spoke to him, and he required him, you pray for your enemies. You pray for those that's been doing you wrong. And he didn't tell Job what he was going to do that I know of. He didn't tell Job, I'm going to turn your captivity and give you twice as much as you had before. He just said, you pray for those enemies. And Job prayed for them. Job humbled himself, didn't he, to the will of God. And you know what he found? God was there. God was there. I want to encourage us today, humble ourselves to the will of God. Do we think we can do it in our own way? Do we think we can handle life on our own? I don't even want the thought of it. I need the Lord. We all need the Lord. We're all going to need the Lord for sure. And so it says here also, and this is the same verse, when he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. In verse 12 it says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-asses. And it goes on down in verse 16. After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. You know, the Lord was there all the time. And I believe, would you say, maybe man generally lives around 70, 75 years, something like that. Would you say if a man suffered for 2 months or 2 days, 2 days out of that time, and it blessed the rest of his life and he was blessed by that, would you say that 2 days would be worthwhile? Would you say that if it really affected things and it made a difference, would the suffering, well, whatever suffering it was for 2 days, would it be worthwhile? I believe it would. Well, you know, eternity compared to this little 70 years is way, way more than the 2 days. It's way less than 2 days compared to 70 years. Our life is. Our life is way less than 2 days in eternity in the comparison. So, would it be righteous of God to allow some of His servants to suffer for a while, knowing that there's a forever out there? Yeah, I believe so. God's done it through the years. He's allowed it. Maybe He'll allow us to suffer sometimes. We shouldn't draw back from that. He's there all through those things. And when Job's work was done, and when he saw, now I can put this in the Bible. Now I can put this in the book. And several thousand years later, people can still be being blessed by that. Would that be worthwhile? Now, Job for thousands of years has been enjoying God's presence, as far as we know. And you know, would it be worthwhile? I want to encourage us today, if we have to give a few things up, if we have to turn our hearts from this world a little, is it that hard? In the eternal picture, is it that much? Does it cost that much? I don't think so. I don't think so. I want to turn my heart. I want to center up in His will. I want to be found there. That's where God is. When you need help, I want to tell you something. I've never yet seen Him not there. I want to read one more place. I thought about the song, and I don't guess we have it, but there's a song that's called He Was There All the Time. If somebody has that, I wish you'd find it for me. You know, I thought about the different ones. Was it right for Joseph to suffer? What was it, 12 years or however many years it was? And he cried many bitter tears. He didn't know what was going to, he didn't know his life was going to, was it right for him to suffer like that? It was in God's plan, wasn't it? It was something God put in Joseph's life, or allowed into his life, I'll say. And yet, look what the Lord used that for. Because Joseph utterly abandoned himself to God. He was in prison after he was thrown in the dungeon and then sold as a slave. Joseph abandon himself to God. He kept himself there. Then he went, and it looked like things were turning around, and he was doing well. And then he was falsely accused and thrown into prison for some years, several years. And yet he abandoned himself to God. I'm going to serve God. I know God is, and he's my God. And the Lord, it says, was with him. We find different ones like that. That's where his grace is. That's where the healings are. That's where his help is in his will. I believe many times we see the Lord change things. We see him heal. We see him help in so many ways. I want to look at 1 Kings 17 at another little place we're all very familiar with, starting at verse 8. Elijah was a man of God, and Ahab was king of Israel, and he was a wicked king, very wicked king. He had married Jezebel, and she had done nothing but subvert the people and do all of those things. We find him telling Ahab, it's not going to rain until, how does he say it? Until I say so, or something like that. It's not going to rain or dew until I say so. Well, you can imagine what happened after several years. There wasn't any water and there wasn't any dew, and the land became parched, very parched. And the Lord had told Elijah, he said, I want you to go down by the brook Cherith. And so he went down by the brook Cherith. And you know, a most amazing thing happened. I have never had a raven come and give me my food in a day. I've never had a raven come and bring me bread and meat, especially every day. I've never even had it once. But Elijah was right in the center of God's will. And he went down there by the brook Cherith. He was in the king's disfavor. And the king was looking for him throughout all the countries around. And he took an oath of each country when he went there to search for Elijah. You have to give me an oath that he is not here. And so he did that. He was hunted. But God said, Elijah, you go down by the brook Cherith, and I'll take care of you there. And you know what? He went down there, and he was fed every morning and every night. But the brook dried up after a while. I wonder, knowing Elijah was a man as we are, and knowing how afraid he got when Jezebel said she was going to kill him, and he ran for his life right after God had done these great miracles for him, I wonder when that brook was drying up a little day by day, if he was thinking, what's going to happen? this is really something, but this is drying up. But you know, after that, at a time there and it was dried up, the Lord told him, and we'll start in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And you know, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. I want to ask you something. What if Elijah hadn't gone to this place? What if he would have said, I'm kind of tired of being you know, just wherever. I want something more than a widow woman's going to have. Would the Lord have sustained him? Do you think the Lord would have fed him wherever he went? Do you? I don't think so. There was a famine everywhere around. But you know what? He did just what God said. And in that place, God sustained him when everybody else was starving to death. God sustained him. You know, this morning, if we will get in place, and I'm not talking about something we can't get a hold of or we can't imagine. If we will just be in the place that God wants us, and we know where that is, we know where we ought to go. If we will just be in that place, I want to tell you something. God will sustain you if everyone else is drying up and dying spiritually. He will still sustain you. And you know what? When we are God's child, He looks out after us. He looks out after us for the temporal things, for our needs in every way. You know, we may think, well, I'm letting loose of my command. If Elijah hadn't let loose, where would he have been? What would have happened to him? But God sustained him there. And I want to encourage us today. God wants to sustain us too. Where does the Lord have you? Does He have you in affliction? You know what? He might just want to teach you some good lessons. He's been teaching me some. He might want to make you a lot better vessel than you were before. He might want to purify your gold. Don't run off on Him. Trust Him. Let the Lord work in your life. Does the Lord have you in some kind of adverse circumstances? Serve Him well. That's right where He is. Does He have you in those adverse circumstances? Don't have a bad attitude about it. Don't push against it. Don't moan and groan all the time. Get the sweet Spirit of the Lord. Let Him work in your heart and life. Let Him make you a blessing. That's what He wants to do. Where does He have you today? Where does He have you? All of us are in different places. I want to tell you, let Him have it. Let Him have your life. Center up in His will. Throw off the flesh. Throw off the places that would hinder us. Get rid of it. Cut the bridges. Don't make you a place to go back to. You know it's not where God wants you to be. Get out of that place. Move into His will. And I want to tell you something. There's riches beyond compare in that place. There's a blessing to your life, to your family, to the things about you that cannot be had any other way. And I won't say the least of those is your family. I will tell you, to have a family to go back to have a family to love you. I know not all of us have that. God can sustain us where we're at. But I want to tell you something. God wants to enrich you. He wants to enrich me with many blessings in our lives. Give it to God. Does the Lord have you in His service? Does He have you sacrificing a little bit? It's kind of digging deep. Don't draw back. Get in the center of His will. Don't draw back. Give Him all. Give Him all of it. Let Him have it. Don't complain about it. Don't look back to say, what have I left? What am I leaving? What is this costing me? You know, the Lord wants us right where He's at in His service. And does the Lord have you out there on a job? Be a proper witness there. The Lord sometimes allowed that boss or that employee to be like they are. And He allowed it into your place. Maybe He wanted to talk to them through your sweet spirit and through the Spirit of God working in your life. God puts us in these places. Wherever the Lord has us, if He has us in the middle of, we're prospering spiritually and temporally and in every way, be faithful with it. Don't be stingy to it. I look around at my place and I thank God I've got a few acres. I thank the Lord for that, but I've been telling the Lord, and I've told Him for a long time, I want this to be yours. I want to make this a blessing to a lot of people. I want them to come here and find rest. I want them to come here and find hope. I want them to be able to come to our house and be able to be blessed there. You know, the Lord, He was there all the time. Another song says, "For the one who appoints me my pathway knows just what is needful and best. He loves me too much to forsake me or give me a trial too much." A song says, "In the trials of the road will see nothing when I get to the end of the way." I believe that this morning. Oh, I want to center up in God's will. I want to be right there. That's where the blessings are. That's where the peace reigns. That's where the joy, God can give you that in that place. So this morning, I just encourage us to follow God's way. I just feel impressed to maybe mention one more thing I wasn't sure I was going to mention. Balaam. You know, Balaam was a man that was a prophet of God, and God spoke to him. He spoke His will to him. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Exactly. Because God was very specific. And you know, the Lord told him, if they call for you in the morning, you get up and go with them. Well, Balaam was in a precarious place already because he kept asking the Lord what about something the Lord had already told him. And you know, he just got up in the morning and went. He didn't wait for them to call him. And he got completely out of God's will. And you know, the Lord tried to forbade, the scripture says, forbade the madness of the prophet. He tried to stop him. He got in his way. His donkey hit him against a wall and all these things. And he didn't know there was an angel with a sword drawn right in front of him those times, trying to stop him from his way. You know, this morning, we can be like that. We can just go on in our way. We can go on in our way. The Lord said, do it this way. And we almost did. But we just left off one little thing. I want to tell you, we're not in God's will when we do that. The Lord wants us to follow His will, just like He says it. Balaam wasn't unsure. I'm not talking about being unsure. Balaam knew exactly what God had said, but he didn't do it that way. And you know, he ended up getting killed, they say, in that battle. Or the scripture says, I believe, that he was killed later. And yet he was a prophet of God, but he got out of the will of God. Just want to encourage us this morning, stay in the will of God. Center ourselves up, seek it, find it, and let God have His way in our life. And I believe you'll find the blessings of life. Amen.